You're listening to Box Office Bros. Starring Corey Osborne. It's a party every week, baby.
Embarrass me in front of Corey.
How many of these guys are named Corey?
And Chance Oliver.
Are you prepared to take that chance?
I think you ought to know what our chances are.
You had your chance and you blew it.
Let's start the show.
Now go do that voodoo that you do.
Hold on to your butts.
Showtime, a-holes.
Hello, this is the Box Office Bros podcast, and I'm your host, Corey Osborne, and this is probably one of our last podcasts, or one of our last like radio show versions of this podcast.
Yeah,
and in a while, probably
we're gonna swear so much.
Yeah, I know we're not gonna be in the trappings of the FCC and everything there soon, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. So, anyways, we're gonna be coming to. I'm gonna have to be clicking that explicit part of the. that like explicit bar for the podcasting on Anchor and all that stuff.
Oh.
We're gonna be real bad up in this biznatch.
You start. I'm gonna put something funny in the show notes, but I just thought of something really funny.
Oh no, that's funny. Well, we're gonna be talking a lot about, you know, some cool stuffs and things. I know that's very specific, but we're gonna be, you know, talking about The Mandalorian because Chance and I haven't had a chance to talk about.
Got me.
We haven't had a chance to talk about The Mandalorian, and we also need to sit down and have a legit talk about how we're gonna be talking about our stuff. Even though there's two more episodes of The Mandalorian, or there's one more episode of The Mandalorian.
One more.
Which is sad. Big sad. But there's one more episode of The Mandalorian left for the season, so I guess we can put off stuff. But I still want a different place where we can just, where it's more of like we obviously have a conversation during this podcast, but I think that it would be cool if we had like a more conversational podcast with also recurring guests constantly.
Yeah.
Where people can just kind of go into a Google Hangouts and I can play Jedi Fallen Order and cry because the Dathomir and the Night Sisters keep on beating my butt and I can't beat this level. Help. I don't have my brother to be like, hey, can he beat this for me? I'm grown, so I don't have anybody else. I guess I could ask my girlfriend to beat the level for me, but that's...
Help me.
I don't think that she really could do it. No offense to her. She always asks me if she can become a gamer girl. I'm like, well, let's play some games then.
Why are you playing games?
No, but it's like one of those deals where, yeah, we're going to be trying to do maybe we could just do our Google Hangout things. And then you hear me complain about video games or whatever. Because funny enough, for those of you who do not know, I have opinions on things that don't have to do with movies and don't have to do with TV shows or anything like that. So I kind of want like an all-encompassing show where we kind of just talk about whatever. Mostly we'll probably talk about like Mandalorian probably, or any shows that we're watching in general. So I don't know, because I think Box Office Bros is really good to talk about movie news and what we think about the movie news and what we think about reviews and stuff. But I think that if we had a separate show that was designated for something differently, it'd be good. So, you know, definitely slide into the Box Office Bros DMs and see and, you know, give your input on what you'd like us to do in those shows.
Crisscross now, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And so it's like one of those deals where...
All right, he's got the text I just sent him.
No, for sure. I'm just going to look in. Yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada. Ooh. Motomoto has a new favorite. I think Motomoto likes you.
Did you see? Okay, so for those who can't like be omnipotent and see what we're doing right now because we're behind a microphone, It's Camille Nungel. How do you say his
Kamal Nanjiani.
Kamal Nanjiani got buff.
No, yeah, he got like
The Eternals.
He got real Marvel ripped, and it's like really, it's really funny.
Like more ripped than usual for a Marvel movie actor.
No, for sure. Like he's stacked. And it's one of those things where he even put like a caveat being like, this is not natural. I do not always look like this. all these different things like that. Just so, like, he's like, I just wanted to show.
He likes some big.
He likes some junker. No, and he likes, and he just wanted to show, like, you know, how much work that he's done and progress. Everything like that. And so, like, because he went through, like, a really, you know, skinny, or not necessarily skinny, but really, like, average-looking dude.
Yeah.
To, wow, like, dang. Like, big oof, he looks crazy. Like, his physique is intense. It, like, for all you who don't know what Kumail Nanjiani looks like, just look at a before and after picture, and it's just crazy for me.
Like, it looks like you could put him and Henry Cavill together like Lego bricks. That's how, like, their abs look right now.
That's funny.
But that's I guess that was yesterday's breaking news, is that he is buff. But anyway, so there have been two episodes of The Mandalorian that have come out since our previous show, Corey.
Mm-hmm. There has been two.
Yeah, there has been two. So you want to, like, give a brief rundown of the first one and then dive into the second one? Well, first one's actually pretty good, too.
Yeah, they're both really great episodes. But I think, like, the way we could approach these Mandalorian segments is basically say, hey, until we're not talking about The Mandalorian, I'll try to be more cognizant and put timestamps inside of the descriptions because I need to be more cognizant and do that. To where we're not talking about Mandalorian spoilers. So sorry if it's been taking y'all out of the episode where you're like, oh, I have to skip to a part because I don't watch The Mandalorian. But if there's anything that you should be doing, you should be watching The Mandalorian because it's fantastic.
Support the mouse. They're really needy.
Like, oh, yeah. What happened? But no.
Where did the money go? Oh, wait. There it is.
No. Did you see
Frozen 2 made a billion, right?
Has it yet?
Or it almost is. Like,
no,
really close.
Have you seen the whole Marriage Story memes?
Yes.
Did you see the one with Mickey and Donald, or Mickey and Goofy, where they make Mickey's voice Carla Johansson's and Goofy's voice Adam Driver's? Oh gosh, I thought I sent that to you, but the reason, oh no, I didn't send it to you. And the reason why is because I kept on sending you memes, and I'm like, I think Chance is going to hate
me. You sent me a lot
I was like, Chance is going to literally hate me. I just kept on seeing stuff that I thought that you'd think was funny.
It was
like
funny.
Over and over and over again, I was like, Chance would like this meme. I feel bad because I'm just spamming you at this point.
There's another Adam Driver one and Scarlett Johansson one that, like, someone, like, I retweeted it, so maybe you saw it, but it was the one where, like, it was like the Thomas the Train filter.
Yes, that's
why are these so funny?
No, like, it's like really funny that, like, a movie as, like, serious about, like, divorce and different stuff like that has garnered so many just memes. And
I guess this year's Bird Box, or no,
is no, Bird Box? It's Noah, or what
was that one with
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah,
that's Bird Box.
Okay, yeah, it's this year, it's the Bird Box release from Netflix.
Oh, yeah. It's people always meme the Netflix releases. It's funny. But getting into the Mandalorian episode 6. Wow. Who knew that Boston accents were in the Star Wars universe?
Boston in space.
Hey, listen here. It's a Mandalorian. Goodness. So Mandalorian ain't got ish on me.
Do you think he's got, like, a Patriot sticker and, like, Brady Goat?
Honestly, honestly, I would not be surprised.
Yo, Space Brady is the greatest quarterback who ever played the game.
You know, he gets that football right in the hyperdrive into that end zone. Goodness.
He wasn't drafted in the first round. He was drafted 73rd off of Tatooine. No one thought he could make it.
But no, for sure. But basically, this episode, the Mandalorian's trying to make some money because, you know, the guild ain't giving him none, hon.
And he's trying to stay away.
Yeah, he's trying to protect that baby Yodes. And basically, what happens is he goes and he runs with a crew that he...
An old crew.
Like an old crew that he used to get money from and credits from. And so he more or less kind of decided to... you know, he decided to make things to, like, he decided to basically go through and get some more money with this crew, and it's a crew that he might not necessarily be able all that trust. Yeah, so all that, like, much.
it's so he like he lands in a little space station, and it's the guy who played, what was it? Was it Flass or was it, what was his name?
He's
like,
in Sons of Anarchy.
But he's also the detective who Batman strings upside down in the first in Batman Begins. He's like,
oh yeah,
he's the where are the other drugs going?
Where are the other drugs guy going? No, yeah,
who like gets dropped off a building, and then Batman's like,
no, for sure. Like,
so it's like, I wonder if you're gonna be a criminal.
Oh no, but joke's on him. It's criminal. Yeah. Lady from the lady who takes care the lady who takes care of the Stark kids is a Twi'lek.
Okay, so am I dumb or have Twi'leks always had fangs? Because they definitely haven't, right?
I don't know. Some Twi'leks might. I'm not entirely sure. I never remembered them having fangs.
Like I was like,
is it just her teeth? That'd be funny if it was just her teeth.
Just teeth.
Well, it just happened to be her teeth, and she just happened to have like fangish kind of teeth and all that kind of stuff.
Because like they were like okay, like they seem super like, I know this is not important at all, but like
no,
they
for sure.
Like they were noticeably sharp.
Nah, for sure. Nah, I feel that. But yeah, there's a Twi'lek, and then there's a robot who's very entertaining.
You could almost say he's part of an IT robot. Club, I don't know.
It's an IT it's, robot club.
It's the guy from the IT club.
Yeah, it's the guy from the IT club.
He's a zero.
Zero, yeah.
Zero, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like one of the things where he is constantly reminding the crew how much superior
he is.
And I just thought that like droids are funny. I just like droids.
All the droids are quirky.
Like even the droids that like I don't like and droids that are bad like this one. It's they're still funny and I enjoy them. And then there is also something cool about Bill Burr's character is that, first of all, even though he's very Bill Burr during the entire thing, it doesn't take away from it. Like, he definitely dies it down, but Jon Favreau and company and Rick Famuyiwa, like, allowed him to kind of still do his thing. And I thought that was pretty cool. And he had this really cool gun contraption on his back.
Yeah, it was weird.
That would be, like, that would, like, control a gun. Like and shoot as well and different things like that. And so yeah, exactly. And I just thought that was just fascinating and really cool. And so in turn,
and there's also
what's the species called? They're in the
like Mos Eisley cantina scene. Like okay, it's basically Satan.
Yeah, he looks kind of like a devil or something like that.
Why can't I think of his name? Like I always know this guy's name. He plays Lex Luthor in the animated show. He's the voice of Mr. Krabs. He played Thor Ragnarok, and he was the villain in the antagonist to Punisher in Daredevil season 2.
Is it Clancy Jones?
Clancy Brown.
Or Clancy Brown, yeah.
Yeah, I think. Let's see, Clancy Brown. Yep,
it's Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown plays the Hail Satan character.
No, yeah, he's this big muscular. He's definitely the muscle.
I think they just outright say he's the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he keeps trying to flex on Mando.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like,
that's a good like, payoff. Shoulder at the end
touches
too.
Him. Yeah. So yeah, they get on their ship, like, and they need Mando's ship because it's not in the old Empire archives and it's not in the New Republic's registry.
Exactly.
So they can't track him down.
You want to know something interesting about the show and Star Wars in general?
What?
It's not painting the New Republic as the, like, best thing since sliced cheese. People are like, you know, the New Republic is more or less not necessarily as bad as the Empire, but they're definitely not really governing.
Like,
and it's, like, one of those things where I just find very interesting.
Half the time when the New Republic does something, you can just put, like, a laugh track at the end of it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, in episode 7 when all the planets are getting, like, you can just do a little friends, like, laugh track.
It's funny because, like, I read a Star Wars novel, and, like, one of the characters that gets blasted off of Hosnian Prime was one of, like, Leia's Senate like assistants, and they're like, yes, that girl, that really pretty one that's like sad and next to the weird rat looking alien character that just gets blown up on Hosnian Prime.
God.
It's a fun deal. But anyways, getting back on track, they go on a mission, And they go on a mission with the Mando's trip, the Mando's ship, because of the whole not being able to get tracked. And they're wanting to get a prisoner. The Mandalorian is not told who this prisoner is or anything like that, because they have history. But and so does apparently the Mando has history with this Twilight girl, too.
Yeah. I was like, tell him, Mando. Is it just me? Is her accent kind of annoying?
I don't know if it's annoying, because it is kind of her voice. Because she's Irish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because her name's like OSHA. Her name is OSHA in Game of Thrones. And the wildlings are typically like cast with Irish people and different things like that.
Because, so she's like the Celtic Twilight.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess. but basically, this episode just goes first off. Like, I thought this episode was really solid. Like, I really...
Solid with some weird parts, but yeah. The back half is like, oh, yeah,
this is a good episode. No, for sure. Like, I thought it was a fun episode. I thought that it was really cool how, like, you got to see different aspects of the New Republic. Like, the New Republic prison looked super interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, the robots that they, like, use droids as troopers, that was really interesting.
Yeah, that was cool. Well, so, like, they go, like, they're on their ship, and they're just like... Well, like, and also Zero's just like, hi, I am better than you. I'm going to fly the ship in a little whoop-de-wop, and we'll scoot down to the
ship. Yeah, we're going to get this ship.
You may leave.
You're going to get this ship right in this whoop-de-wop and goop-a-da-boop and skip-a-da-poop and scap-a-da-boop. He's become Bill Cosby for some weird reason.
Oh, God.
Watch yourself around that droid.
Yeah.
Make sure he doesn't make you any libations.
Okay. So, like, they go back down, and, like, they're just like, hey, man, how come? It's like, hey, have you ever seen him without his helmet? And it's basically just, like, passive-aggressive remarks for, like, 3 straight minutes. And, like, it's like, and then Clancy Brown, Satan, was just, like, messing around. And then, like, they start fighting, and then door bumps open. There's Baby Yoda.
Obviously, Bill Burr wants a piece of the Twi'lek lady, so he's a little jealous.
He's a mad jelly.
I know, mad jelly of the Mando. He knows that he ain't got that mysterious streak with him, so he's like, But yeah, anyways.
He ain't shiny like Mando.
Mm-hmm. He ain't got that Beskar. You know, it's like most women in the galaxy, I ain't saying she's a Beskar miner.
I ain't saying she a Beskar digger.
But she ain't messing with no broke Mandos. She ain't messing with no Mandos from the beginning of the season.
So like they kind of like all over the place is like beginning descent, and then Baby Yoda goes flying, and then it's just like, why didn't that droid tell us we were gonna get to the ship? And then Mando like just kind of pats Baby Yoda the head, shuts the door, and then they get down to business.
No, for sure.
So it's just like, oh no, droids, get him, Mando. And so Mando, like, you know, gets his hate, like his anger boner for droids and just goes balling out against his droids. That was so cool.
No, it's just a really cool sequence, because I will stand true to the statement that the Mando is way more, he is way more Indiana Jones than James Bond.
Yeah.
To where James Bond will almost become a superhero at moments with the way that he fights and everything like that. But the Mando is not the strongest, but dang is he the most resourceful. And it's the way that he approaches the fight. Because first, initially, they think he's running away. And then he all of a sudden appears behind the droids and everything like that.
And where'd he go? And they're just like, surprise!
Yeah, exactly. Because he is a tactician. And he goes ahead and he attacks things from a certain angle. And he's always doing stuff like that. And I just find his character so fascinating with the way that he gets into these altercations. Because he gives himself the upper hand and he understands his weaknesses. And then he builds on his strengths, which is the resourcefulness and the more scrappier aspect. Which I think makes for a more interesting hero. Which is like... Like with it also goes the same way with television shows like Daredevil,
right?
You know, like you almost feel Mandalorian breaking a sweat.
Yeah,
you understand that what he's doing is exerting himself like a human. you know?
Like, and he's not so, Dragon Ball. He's not blatantly exactly. better than everyone.
So that's the reason why, like, I guess I just get a little bit annoyed when people are like, the Mandalorian should be more BA. And I'm like, no.
I mean, at the end of this episode, I'd say he is.
I think he is, too.
Well, the creativity he uses, because I compared, like, the Mandalorian, like, he's similar to Boba Fett in the way he was portrayed in Empire Strikes Back, where he's just, sure. like, that little bit where he's just, like, you know he means business, but, like, just because of, like, how smart he is. Like, mm-hmm. when Luke comes around the corner, you just see a little head tilt that Boba notices him. Luke comes around the corner. Boba's like, surprise! Ugh. It's kind of the same thing with Mando, where he's, like, it's not his, like, overwhelming physical prowess and weapons. It's his mind.
You know, maybe we'll see them. Maybe we'll see.
Maybe
we'll see Boba again. Who knows?
See.
Okay, if we see Boba Fett again, over under, do you think they're going to revise canon and not make him one of the clone troopers? Like, not like.
Like,
do you think he's going to be Boba Fett as we know him in canon so far? Or do you think it's going to be somebody who's taken the name of Boba Fett or something like that? And he's been the person since Empire and all that stuff. But he just kind of took the armor.
Like since like he was in the Sarlacc?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be him. Because I could just see that making a lot of people just mad.
Yeah, I don't really love it when people revise canon as much as I think that it's a dumb... Like, George Lucas... Why? Like, the clones could have been anything. Clones could have been any just random person. Why does it have to be Boba Fett versus Jango Fett?
Jango Fett.
Why does it have to be a ton of clones of Jango Fett? It just doesn't make any sense.
Hi, I'm Jango Fett. I'm the Tome clone template. Also, I have an unedited clone. His name is Boba. Oh, no.
It's like, why couldn't he just at least just have a kid?
Like, just then, have his son.
Yeah, yeah, just have a kid. I don't understand why it has to be a clone.
Like, I mean, that's a cool...
Because then it just puts them in the... It puts them in a corner, and it's annoying. But I guess we can have this dude be... Possibly in the Mandalorian now, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. It, like,
or so, he can just not take his mask off.
That's true.
Because so, it could be just anybody.
Right.
Because that dude's getting kind of old.
That dude is way old.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you just kind of have to because in the special editions, George dubbed out like the original dude's like gravel voice with...
With his voice.
With Mr. Kiwi. Mm-hmm. I don't know his real name. I'm sorry. Moana's dad. And Aquaman's dad.
That's funny. He's a lot.
He's Dexter season 3 villain.
He's just everybody's dad, apparently.
Yeah, he's. They got it from their daddy. So you get on the ship, like, looking for the prisoner. They go to the control room. And Zero's like, hey, wait, there's a person on there. And it's like, Corey's over there coughing. And you got. Oh, there's a person in there. It's like, oh, hi, guy. And like, they all got his guns, and it's just like, don't do it. We'll kill you. And then he just kind of brings out this little thing that'll.
That dude's Anakin.
That dude's Anakin?
Yeah, the dude who is the New Republic trooper. He's Anakin, the guy who voices Anakin in the Clone Wars.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's him.
How did I not notice that?
No, yeah. It's his name's like Matt something. I'm trying to think of his name.
I think James's name is Obi-Wan's voice actor. Now I have to watch that episode again. Way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that part again. Because, well...
Yeah, it's Matt Lanter.
What? That's awesome. Okay, now I'm just going to...
But yeah, James Arnold Taylor is Obi-Wan.
Yeah, James Arnold Taylor. So yeah, you get that, like, Mando's trying to negotiate. Hey, don't push that button, because then we'll all die. And then, like...
Yeah, because of the tracker and everything right. like that.
And get this, like, standoff with the rest of the bounty crew where, like, Clancy Satan wants to kill him. And
Clancy Satan, that's the colloquial term for that.
The species. Clancy Satan.
Clancy Satan.
Then you have, well, and then Bill Burr wants to kill him. And then Scary Twi'lek Lady. Like, they're just like, no one's going to die. Uh-huh, someone's going to die. And then... She just, like, throws a knife at him and kills him. And there's, like, he ends up pushing the button. So now it's a race against time on this prison ship. And then they go to rescue. Turns out to be her brother, Twi'lek Lady's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Twi'leks,
it might just be my sexuality. But male Twi'leks, not as attractive as female Twi'leks, in my opinion. Nah, kind of gross looking. Not gonna lie. Yeah, they don't got it. They really don't. the male Twi'lek Xanadu's attract ain't really all that attractive. He had a weird face.
He did have.
He was like there are two like balls on his head.
Like they're more. I think the male Twi'leks are just that their forehead's a lot more pronounced. That's like cool. If I remember from the Clone Wars and the few, I think they're in a couple episodes of Rebels as well. They're a little more pronounced, but. Enough of our preference on Twi'lek. So this is when the betrayal.
The betrayal, yeah. And the thing is, they're planning on, you know, kind of pulling a fast one on the Mandalorian anyways. Because the thing is, they knew the Mando could get it to them because the Mando is the most skilled. But they didn't really want to pay the Mando. And they wanted to just get rid of the Mando. Because, you know, the Mando kind of pulled a fast one on them before, pretty much. More or less. Well, he didn't pull a fast one. He more just kind of left.
Like
he just left the brother of Twi'lek Lady.
Well, yeah, we can get to that in a bit. But like, so
he's
like,
well, no, I'm talking about in the past.
Oh, right, because
they implied that.
Right, there is some unspoken.
Yeah, there's some history. There's some history.
So like, they push him in, like he shoots, but like the door closes too quick, so it's like ricocheting inside the prison cell, which was really cool shot. And then she's like, "You deserve this, Mando," and then they run away.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so it's just them, like, running back. And so do you remember that scene in the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie where, like, Jack gets out of a little prison cell when, like, the ship's attacking?
Yeah.
So it's basically kind of like that where a little different, like, another robot guard's walking away. And this is, like, the beginning of how resourceful and clever the Mandalorian is. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, all right, robot's walking by, grappling hook, and then just, like, brings it like the robot's arm through, and it's so cool. Like, he just like shoots it to pieces and then uses the arm because the arm has a little device that R2 has to open doors, and he uses that to finagle himself out of the prison cell. And I was like,
hey, for sure,
that's pretty clever. And so it's kind of like Zero just like, hey guys, he got out, by the way. And so it just kind of turns into a little Batman home alone, picking off the bounty hunters one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. He starts with Clancy Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he meets him in the control room where, like, is this where he also grabs the little tracker in the control room?
No, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so in that, and then, he tries to string up Clancy Satan from the rafters, but Clancy Satan's pretty strong. So he, like, rips him down and then just do a little fight. Apparently, Satan people are immune to fire. And then, basically, he tries to crush him with the door. But he's like, ha-ha, look how strong I am. And then Mando's just like, boop, and hits another button. Boop. And, like, a set of doors from, like, you know, like the supermarket closed from the sides get him. Then, see, who's he take out next?
Does he take out the Twi'lek next?
Yeah, I think he takes the Twi'lek out next.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, hi, Mando, and like...
Because he waits for the Bill Burr for last.
Right, because like, also he like just kind of finagles with all the ship's like systems where like Zero can't see anymore and like the lights are like going on and off. So like...
It's just like... Episode after episode, it just establishes how smart he is and like how like he really does get through these issues, not through the brawn, but his brain and everything like that. And like, I just thought that's so cool.
Gets bopped with a knife. And then so it's implied he takes her down, and then the last takes down Bill Burr in this really, really cool shot of the lights coming on and off and the Mandalorian just getting closer and closer. And then, like, Bill Burr turns around and he's not there, but Mando must have ducked and got around him. And then, and he's, what did he say? Like, he said something before the Mandalorian, just like, he's like, Mando!
No, yeah, for sure.
So then it's, then he runs into Twi'lek guy Corey's not down with.
Yeah, I ain't down with Twi'lek guy.
I don't swing that way.
Yeah, I don't swing towards Twi'lek guy. Not really.
He's like, come on, Mando. All the money is yours. He's like, okay, I would shoot you. Oh, by the way, also, so I should just cut this in with a meanwhile, Baby Yoda's playing Home Alone with Zero.
Exactly. like Zero's like, ooh, we can get money from him. And then it was funny. I watched Home Alone like last week, but that movie does not age well. It's so bad, but it's great. No. It's good at the same time, but it's so bad. It's a cute movie, but it's anyways. It's like one of those deals where Zero is trying to get the kid.
Like trying
to get
the child. Baby Yoda is like, interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And then he comes across the tape from Grief Karga. It's talking about how, like Carl Weathers' character, talking about how, like, you know, valuable the kid is. Mm-hmm. And so Zero was like,
interesting.
Money. And so
I've heard something about the Mandalorian.
Exactly. So it's like one of those deals where that's kind of dealing with that. So
it's like, it seems I have been disconnected, which means you cannot hear what I'm saying right now.
No, indeed.
So then they come in, like Zero's about to piece Baby Yoda, but guess who pieces Baby? Doesn't piece Baby Yoda. Who pieces Zero first? But the Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian.
He likes shooting droids in the head.
He really does.
To get protect Baby Yoda.
He really. Half of it's just because he doesn't like droids, but the other really half is that he wants to protect the wee Baby Yodes.
So yeah, they go back. Yeah, get him. It's like, oh, good job, Mandalorian. Here's your money. And then kind of the episode wraps up with Mandalorian getting in a ship and then Detective Spaceman or whatever. I can't remember his name. Guy from Sons of Anarchy. Mm-hmm. He's just like, kill him. And like, they're about to like launch this little starfighter.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see Twi'lek brother. He's got the little
tracker in his pocket.
Tracker from his pocket. He's like, what's this? He has
the New Republic tracker. And then Dave Filoni, Rick Famuyiwa, and Deborah Chow X-Wing pilots go in and then basically wreck shop.
I know. It's like,
and so the Mandalorian prevails.
Yeah, it's like, fooled you.
I know for sure. And it was just like really great to see justice prevailed. Everything like that. So it's like one of those deals where it's just, you know, a good time.
A nice little exclamation point on the episode.
Oh, no, for sure. And it was one of those this episode seemed very, like, I know Filoni and Favreau produced these episodes and all that stuff. And Favreau in particular wrote this episode, I'm pretty sure. But, gosh, the fingerprints of Filoni was all over this episode. I could just kind of feel it. It felt like a Rebels episode, in a way, or not a Rebels episode. It felt like one of those concentrated adventures when they had one of those things where they have to get in and get out. Right. And it felt very much like the creators, for better or for worse. But it still,
Yeah. Really and then good. Also, there's a little end thing where like Mando did not kill any of the bounty hunter gang. Well, I guess besides Zero, you got Clancy Satan and Freaky Twi'lek Lady.
Clancy Satan, I can't get over that.
Are still alive. They're just in a cell on that Republic prison ship. Not too happy with themselves.
Mm-hmm. They big mad.
They mad. So that's the end of episode 6. Now episode 7.
The Reckoning.
Is that what it's called? The Reckoning?
Yes, exactly.
Because this one was called The Prisoner, right? Episode 6?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, episode 7.
The Reckoning. Oh my God. This is the best episode that's been released, in my opinion. This episode and episode 3, coincidentally, both directed by Deborah Chow. Fantastic director. You need to put you really need to put your eyes out for this lady. Gosh, she's directed.
Future.
She's directed a lot of stuff, and I think that she's on her way, especially if the Obi-Wan series is received well. She's on her way to directing films for Star Wars. I know it then. Because look at how fantastic this episode was. How fantastically paced it was. I didn't know if the pacing was going to get much better than the episode 2. And Rick Famuyiwa has kind of been like the king of pacing as far as Mandalorian episodes, in my opinion. But like, I didn't know that things could have been so... Everything hit well. The episode starts with Grief Karga being like, hey, we need to make a deal because the Imperials have taken over ever since you took the kid. Mm-hmm. And it is bad for business. I want to be on top again. We need to...
bad news.
Yeah, we need to be mutual. We need to, mutually kind of...
Cool it.
Take care of this issue and everything like that. So in turn, they, the Mando is like, okay, well, I have no choice because the people are always going to be hunting down the kid no matter what. So I have to go in turn and I have to go back, but I'm going to be smart about this. So then he, goes and he goes ahead and he
assembles the team.
Yes. He assembles the Revengers.
The Revengers.
The Revengers. And the only reason I say that is because Taika Waititi is technically one of them.
That's true. So basically.
But yeah, he takes Cara Dune. He takes Queeze. And, you know, also in unexpected fashion, IG-11.
IG-11's Backstreet's back.
Mm. All right. I am a droid and I'm here to serve you. Bum, ba, da, da.
Oh my god. So yeah. Also, Cara Dune took very little convincing.
No, yeah.
She's also like in a wrestling match.
Yeah. It was a hilarious seeing what she was doing there. It was amazing. But Cara Dune was basically, it was like, hey, I don't want to do this. And he goes, hey, you can kill some, kill people from the Empire. And then she's like, yes.
I'm in.
Killing some Empires. She called them imps.
What you meant.
Yeah, right. She referred to them as imps.
Imps.
Nah, she wasn't disparaging, you know,
the people. Animals.
Yeah, she's
isn't just that like a type of, is that a marsupial? No, I don't know.
I'll check.
I'm not a taxonomist. I don't know.
But anyway, talk about the episode.
So, you get back to the one planet where Baby Yoda first came from. He goes to say, I'm going to say Kui. He is the, what's his species name again? The
Ugnaught.
Ugnaught Kui, who helped the I've Spoken Nick Nolte.
I've spoken.
So it's basically like, hey, I need someone to watch the kid. And he's like, okay, coming with you. He's like, oh, also you see the IG-11. like Corey said, IG-11's back. Kui has repaired him and reprogrammed him to serve T. Protect too, which is weird because like apparently robots need to like relearn things after they've been reprogrammed.
I thought that was actually so fascinating. And I also thought it was like a big testament to Kui as a character.
Yeah.
Because like, he's just one of those characters that really brings out the good in everything that's around him.
Yeah.
And he helps people and he just seems to be such a caring and empathetic character, and like he's just a joy to see on screen, and he just breaks my heart. He's just amazing with the way that he deals with things and other things bad. So it's like, yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny though. It's like, okay, so, well, because you could honestly open like this opens up a can of worms that's already been kind of open, but like droid sentience in Star Wars, like that should be like an episode of like a show or like a one-off. Like a one-shot episode of some Star Wars series coming up, because like that
because everything is because like, there's a lot of stuff that's contradicting each other like, in the way, because Kui at one point says something along the lines of droids are neither good nor bad, they're neutral
reflections of the people who command them
program them and everything like that. And I just thought that was really cool. I thought that was fascinating because that's the most people have really said about droids
like someone in Star Wars period about this.
No, for sure.
It's like whenever R2 is sad and whenever C-3PO is being and whenever C-3PO is being like angsty or anxiety riddled, or the battle droids are like, I don't want to die. Like, that's genuine,
Roger,
I guess.
Roger.
And it's like, battle droids are useless. Roger. So,
who is Roger anyways?
droid, am I Roger?
Maybe we are all Roger.
Are we all Roger? Oh my god. Back it off. So yeah, so he's like, and like Mando's really like not having it at all with the IG-11. Like, it's like, I don't trust droids. Like, he's like, what's your problem with droids? Like, what's my problem with that droid? That droid was literally like tasked to kill the baby. And I was like, he's just like, not anymore. He's like, you trust me and you trust my programming, I'm coming. And he just walks off. I've spoken, and walks away. I was like, that probably is my favorite I Have Spoken.
Mm-hmm. Because like, the I Have Spoken was literally like an F you Mando.
Like it was annoying. Like, matter of fact, I Have Spoken.
He's like, it was like the closest thing that Kui would ever being like, hey, Mando, I'm right, shut up.
And they also brought all like, so basically it's Cara Dune, Kui, Baby Yoda, IG-11, and also like three of the large mouth basses that Mando rides from.
Yes.
I should really learn their names instead of calling them large mouth basses.
They're called Dubax.
Dubax are the one from Tatooine, remember?
Oh, no, yeah, we had this conversation. We literally had this conversation.
It's something, I'm just going to call it a largemouth bass. Anyway, so they like got the ship loaded up. Like, all three of them are, like, penned off. And what looks like Baby Yoda's little hidey hole.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Yoda's, like, so basically they're riding around IG-11 just like, here, I made dinner. Do you want to eat up here or down there? And then Amanda's like, I'm not hungry. So like they go down for like their game plan, and then you get like some, I guess, like Baby Yoda looks like he was like the protagonist in an Arkham game, where like they're talking, and then Baby Yoda just kind of like sinks his head down in the little tube, and then soon enough the ship just kind of dips in, like it starts dipping out of control. And Baby Yoda like has assumed the controls, and we don't know like why are you doing this, Baby Yoda? So that's kind of like, so Baby Yoda's like, okay, we need something to babysit him, and then Kui is just like, here, I can make him a new little hidey hole.
No, for sure.
So you want to like take a quick break so we can talk about this, because the episode kind of kicks into overtime.
We will let you know what happens at the end of this Mandalorian episode after the break. Hey, we are back.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yes, we are back, and we're going to be talking about the last part of this Mandalorian episode. The third act. And, you know, we go in. So we left off by going, because they go back to the original planet, right?
Right.
Yeah, they go back to the original planet. Greef Karga is out there. Carl Weathers and mm-hmm. all of his glory is out there with his own, you know, units of protection.
Well, those are, they look like they were the same pieces, like a species of Yondu's pirates. Were they?
Yeah, I guess.
I think they were.
I think so. But there's that, and then there's also the Mandalorian came out with his protection.
His posse.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they all travel together. And they're like, yes, we're going to take down this Imperial remnant.
We're friends.
And
oh, also, okay, so before we get too far past this, Baby Yoda almost choked Cara Dune to death.
Oh, yeah, he did, because he thought, because they're doing an arm wrestling. And then Baby Yoda was like, I'm going to choke you because you're being mean to Dad.
Stay away from my dad.
And what I thought was really interesting is Baby Yoda has probably just seen a ton of violence. And it's probably like, you know, just like,
right.
And he's a baby, so he doesn't really understand. But he's like, okay, I guess this is how you deal with things.
Like, it's also like, Kui was about to say something, and they never went back to it. Because he was like, I don't know what he is, but I think I've heard of what he just did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Kara made some, like, reference about, like, the Empire and, like, Kui was like, I was an indentured servant, and I spent three of your human lifetimes getting my freedom. I was like, man, that was neat.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so
Kui is old.
Yeah, he's real. I guess Ugnaughts lived for a long time. But so like you said, they're like walking with Carl Weathers and their merry band of bounty hunters, and they stop for the night, and they're like roasting something on an open fire.
Not for sure.
Chestnuts.
Most definitely was not chestnuts.
So they're just talking. I was like, all right, let's go over the plan. And then
some pterodactyls or something.
Yeah, like he said something ironic, like, everything's gonna be fine. Pterodactyl, like, brood just sweeps, just comes out of nowhere and starts attacking the group.
Nah, for sure. And then they just, and then, you know, they shield Baby Yoda, obviously.
It picks
up one of the
largemouth basses.
Yeah, largemouth basses. And it also picks up one of Grief Cargas, Bounty Hunters, which is fine. I don't care.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. They pick up Mando, like they're trying to get Mando, and like Mando's just like flamethrowing it. It's like, let me go. And like I was like, oh, that was intense. And a Grief Cargo?
Yeah, Grief Carga.
Okay, Carga.
Grief Carga gets attacked, like, and he gets injured pretty bad.
Apparently they've got poison in the pterodactyls on that planet.
Mm-hmm. And so yeah, but you, what were you gonna say?
Oh, so Kara's like, he like, it's like, oh man, he's hurt bad. And so like they put like a med pack into him. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, anyone have another med pack? And all the bounty hunters like, no, I got one of those. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, well, I don't know what to do for you, friend. And so, but then Baby Yoda does this like little thing, and Cara Dune's just like, can someone get that thing out of here? And then, which is funny, because I thought Cara was like a lot more like on board the baby. Oh, I guess.
I think she's less on board now that she got choked by the Baby Yoda.
A little salty. but so like, no, he does his like, remember that little thing like he did way back in episode 2 where like, mm-hmm. he puts his little paw up for like the Mandalorian's wound, and he heals Carga. Like he like takes like the poison goes away mm-hmm. out of his arm. And he's just like, and then he gets all tired because Baby Yoda can't use the Force for long periods of time without needing a nap. Mm-hmm. And like,
it's like eating a ton of turkey.
Yeah.
Except he's using the Force and moving things.
Yeah, it's like melatonin for Baby Yodas. so he's just like, and then so it's the next morning, like they're walking in, they get like a little like cliffside overlooking the village where this whole rigmarole started. And then you see the bounty hunters like taking their guns out, and then Carga turns around and sharp shoots the bounty hunters. Mm-hmm. And like, so basically Mandalorian was about to get double crossed 2 episodes in a row.
And like the thing is, here's the deal. I'm pretty sure the Mandalorian already kind of knew that though.
Yeah.
He was like, this is the best chance I have.
Try it,
Holmes. I need to at least like get there so I can, I don't know, at best double cross some more.
Like in double cross, it's cross.
Uh-huh.
Making it a quad cross. But, so I was like, I was going to double cross you, but then that thing last night happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm actually going to help you for realsies this time. And then he's just like, yeah, Werner Herzog, he's only got like 4 guards. It's fine. And so basically they kind of walk up and he's just like, I got something for the boss. And then the speeder bike troopers, like you see like for the first time in Return of the Jedi, they're just like, give you 20 credits for the helmet. He's like, no, this is going on my wall. And the man is like, your wall? So I was like, I need your little barcode to get in. So they get in, and then like there's stormtroopers everywhere, and Kara's just like,
4. Yeah, really? It's funny because of like that, they kept that joke going. Like she's like 4, okay, 4 stormtroopers. Like,
there's 4 on him.
There's 4 on him. And he's like, yeah, and then there's more. And then when they get there, it's there's like, more than 4 on him.
And then Werner Herzog is like, and then he's like, oh wow, Beskar looks so beautiful when forged by those who curated or something.
Gosh,
like that.
Why is he just like this? He walks up to somebody and all he wants to talk about is just the little things.
He's like,
you don't know what's going on here.
Like,
I am Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog is the very life, simple pleasures kind of imperative.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently.
But yeah, so like, that's the thing. Oh, but like, Kui is like on his bass and like, it's like, all right, I need you to take Baby Yoda back to the Razor Crest and set it to like self-defense mode. Nothing on the planet's going to get inside of it. Mm-hmm. If it's in ground defense mode. I'm like, mm-hmm. What does that mean? I kind of want it. But so like they're in there and it's like, all right, I don't see it's a baby. And then it's like, oh, baby's sleeping. And then it just kind of turns into, hey, sir, you have a phone call. And it's like, okay. And then it's, okay, what's this guy's name?
I don't know how to pronounce him.
Is Gene? No, what is it?
It's like He's from Breaking Bad.
It's something an American would struggle saying. So
you could not be more right when you say that. But let's go ahead and it's Giancarlo Giancarlo Esposito.
Giancarlo Esposito?
Yeah, Esposito.
So yeah, Esposito.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, "Hey, what's up?" He's like, "You have it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's in here. It's sleeping." He's like, "Are you sure?"
Mm-hmm. And like, it's Moff Gideon is his name.
Okay, Moff Gideon. Okay, it's a Moff. That's awesome.
Yes, he's like, he's a Moff.
So basically, this could have been like the John Cena, "Are you sure about that?" moment of the episode.
You are not wrong.
Because basically, like, Werner Herzog turns around and basically a volley of gunfire comes into the little bar they're in.
Shoots right through Werner Herzog.
Right through Werner Herzog. I'm like, well, you just got like Sigourney Weaver from The Defenders just now.
That's funny.
But so, like, the bar is like shot to pieces. So you've got Karga, Dune, Mando. Just those three.
Mm-hmm.
And little Baby Yoda's hover carriage. And so, mm-hmm. Mando, radios back to Queen. He's just like, "Hey, they're on to us. Are you at the ship yet?" "Not yet." And those little speeder boys must have heard him and picked up the signal.
Yeah, they picked up the signal, which
and
is sad.
And they dipped out. So, this episode is really well-paced and timed.
And there's just the last 5 minutes. We're going at a breakneck speed, and it hurt, honestly, though, what happened at the end of this episode.
So, basically...
Because it just was going through, and he kept on saying, "Kui, have you gotten there yet? Kui, have you gotten there yet?"
Yeah,
and you're almost hoping because
you're like,
"He can't." They're like, "They can't do this, Kui. They can't."
Well, and right before that, the people that shot up the bar, death troopers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, uh oh.
So it's much more worse than the situation they were even in before.
Yeah, and the Moth flies in on a TIE fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know TIE fighters landed like that.
Now thinking about it, we haven't really seen... We've seen TIE fighters land, but we haven't seen a TIE fighter like that land.
Yeah, it's cool. Different. Yeah, it's a cool TIE fighter. But yeah, so you're cutting in, and then, I guess, Cora, do you want to...
No, yeah.
...punctuation on this?
No, yeah. But basically, what happens at the end there is, the Mando's still pleading out for Kui, and then we see Kui on the ground, and the Baby Yoda gets picked up.
You see,
the Baby Yoda...
The troopers scoop up Baby Yoda, mm-hmm. and then you see everything else.
Mm-hmm. Do you think at the beginning, pour one out for Kui?
Pour one out for I Have Spoken, the mm-hmm. man, the myth, the legend.
He'll stay in our hearts.
It
was sad. I was actually really sad after the episode.
A character with probably 10 minutes of screen time.
And he made such a good impact on the screen. Awesome character work with him. But IG-11 is still... there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he was gonna almost make it to the ship, and they were gonna catch him. But then IG-11's not to my dad, and then shoot him or something.
Yeah, but I feel like IG-11 might run after the Baby Yoda.
That's true. I think what's gonna happen is IG-11's gonna see what happened to Kui, mm-hmm. and he's just gonna be turn into John Wick robot, where it's mm-hmm. Okay, you want to play that game? So, I think IG-11 is going to be one of the MVPs on episode 8.
Yes, I'm excited.
Those death troopers and a Moff. I guess he's not Grand Moff, but he's a Moff.
He still is a Moff nonetheless.
Which
means he's one of the higher people who are alive in the Empire then.
So, people, were thinking that this could have been his character at the end of episode 5, when that bounty hunter dies.
Yeah.
But
I'm not sure. I don't think that was it. And I don't think he would be tracking him like this either. You know?
So
I think that's either something more for
season two
or something that they're just teasing out. They're gonna be teasing out over these next two episodes.
Yeah, so this episode was really good and it made me sad.
No, made me real sad too, but definitely was probably the best episode that they've released out of The Mandalorian. Very awesome episode.
It's very close between three.
Yeah,
and
three might be edge it out, but it's definitely close.
But just because you see stormtroopers being competent,
I really like seeing stormtroopers being competent. Oh, also probably one of my favorite one of my favorite moments from the last episode was when they're saying that Bill Burr's character was a sharpshooter for the Empire. He goes, I wasn't a stormtrooper, because the Mando goes, okay. He's like, I'm not a stormtrooper.
Like, not saying much. You say, like, smart ass or something?
He said he's a wise ass. He goes, I'm not, no, he's like, my stormtrooper wise ass.
Yeah.
It was funny.
And also, he does a Gungan impression in that episode. Oh, yes, too.
Exactly. He does, oh, you think I'm a Gungan? Oh, he's like, going,
you used to don't want to take the helmet off. I was like, okay.
He's like, is it a Gungan under there? I love that. That was funny.
Yeah, but.
But that, I think. God,
this episode, man.
Oh, so good. Love that.
So good. Like,
we just talked about The Mandalorian for a long time.
Yeah, we did.
It's okay, though.
But, like, because, like, the episode made me so pumped. It's like Endgame. Like, it got me really pumped up. But then I'm like, man, I'm really sad.
Me too.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Me too, my dude.
What do I do with my hand? Like, do I, like, stand up and clap or, like, cry or, like, go take a lonely walk down the street? I don't know what to do.
It's like, we got to grieve our boy Kui.
Like,
if he's dead, and which he probably is, like, he seems pretty dead.
Yeah, like, I just kind of want to go outside on campus right now and just, like, find some person talking about Jesus and just, like, hey, my savior's an Ugnaught, you jerk.
I have spoken,
and walk away, just, like, leaving them very confused. But this is a good episode. Episode 8, let's see, let's teeing up. Baby Yoda's captured. Kui is dead. IG-11's probably got a revenge trip going.
Mm-hmm.
With Mando, Karga, and Cara Dune are pinned down. What's gonna happen next? Okay, so you know what would be like pure euphoria?
What?
Is
Zendaya showing up?
No, shut up. Not that euphoria. Is like... Like, maybe you just kind of see all the, like, you see a big moving van, a big Star Wars moving van, and then, like, someone looks in the rearview mirror, and they just, like, throw up the back of the truck. It's like the whole Mandalorian club is like, hey, what's going on here? And you just get, like, a big Imperial Mandalorian battle.
Yes.
Or bounty hunters and Mandalorians versus the Empire, or something like that, because, like, they know their boy's in trouble.
They might, but I also think that this episode brought a lot of cool, interesting, like, stuff to the table. Because, like, Werner Herzog's character was talking about he was like, he goes, why didn't the Mandalorians just submit? Like, and everything
Empire
like that.
Makes every planet better.
And the thing is,
better.
You know this guy believes in the Empire with the way he's saying, all as evil as he is, he believes in the Empire. He has partly a point. Part of a point, because how is the New Republic ruling this place? Obviously, it's not well if, like, this stuff is happening here.
Like, I'm assuming it's like an Outer Rim thing.
Exactly, where they're not reaching the Outer Rim. Or they're only going to places where they think matters, which is which is unfortunate. Which is almost worse than the Empire, because that means that they're showing a blind eye to different places. But anyways.
Right. It's kind of, the New Republic's just interesting subject matter.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's just like salty bounty hunters, because they can get, like, half of them would get thrown in jail by the New Republic or something.
No, for sure.
Because you notice, like, the Bounty Hunters Guild doesn't, like, take bounties from the New Republic, do they?
I don't think they do.
Like, in the first episode, Karga was just, like, offering up, like, Mon Cala currency and Imperial credits and stuff like that. So it makes me wonder, like, what's the relationship between, like, the old way and the New Republic? Like, I guess that's fodder for season two. But no, like, so you've got a Moff who's looking really cool. You've got the Death Troopers. Like, is this their first, like, do you see, like, Death Troopers in Rogue One a little bit? I can't remember, but, like, they looked awesome. Just that brief little shot we got of them. Episode 8's gonna be, probably just, like, make us really mad. We're gonna have to wait for more of these episodes.
No, for sure. It's gonna definitely be very interesting.
I don't know, like, do you think anyone else gets pieced in episode 8? Like, anything else? Any other person we care about?
I don't really know if anybody is really gonna get pieced out, but I definitely think that it's going to put a lot of stuff into perspective for this next episode. Right. So
it's like, yeah, Cara Dune, Karga, and the Mando. Well, and IG-11, who's, I guess, is just gonna like Usain Bolt his way.
No, the, for sure.
It's like run. It's gonna be like running. So, like, yeah, I get. Oh, you know what? Okay, so prediction time. So like you said, IG-11 is gonna save Baby Yoda, and the Mando's gonna see him save Baby Yoda, and he's just like, maybe you're not so bad.
Yeah, like maybe you're not a terrible dude, and all that stuff. Hey, but
there wasn't any danger after all.
But you know, we're after with that note, we're gonna be transitioning into talking about Christmas movies and different things like that. I know. Way different.
Way topic. Different. Unless you want to talk about the holidays.
Right? But we're going to, yeah, but we can talk, but we're going to be talking about some Christmas movies. Hot take about some Christmas movies. We're going to just get right into it.
They suck in general. Don't at me.
Yeah, they kind of do. Home Alone kind of sucks. You know? Home Alone is not that great. I was watching it last week with my girlfriend. Oh, God. It's just not good. And we're constantly. I wish there was like we could do. I wish we did like a commentary track on it, which is something that I've been wanting to do. But we were just pointing out how dumb. First of all, how comically mean the family is towards Kevin.
I know.
They're just like, well, listen here, you little jerk. See what you did, especially that uncle. Like,
if I was that comically mean to my brother, I would have been thrown into my room and not let out for a day.
No, exactly. Like, and like everybody was being so mean to this kid. And it was just so awful. Honestly, though, not all Christmas movies are bad. Like, I actually think Elf is quite good. I think Elf is really good. And I also think It's a Wonderful Life is amazing. Those are probably my two favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah, Wonderful Life is good. You know what? Okay, so.
Well, what's up?
I think, okay, so.
Try to get a little bit more into your mic. Sorry. Just because this mic kind of stinks.
It's like bent down, and like it won't stay bent down.
No, for sure.
Or up, rather. Good one, me. You know what movie? You know how people talk about like, oh, this is good for a superhero movie, or good for a Marvel movie, or good for a Star Wars movie?
No,
like,
for sure.
Like, oh, it's a good horror movie, but is it good for like a movie movie? You know what I mean?
No.
Because people do that a lot.
No, I get what you mean.
And I'll apply that same logic to a Christmas movie. Polar Express is a great movie inside or outside of Christmas. Don't at me.
I'll at you. I'm kidding. no, I think that it's a pretty good movie. It just guts into the uncanny valley, the way that it's animated. That's the like the story and everything else is very good. Like, I actually think it's quite good.
I think the mocap holds
up pretty well. The mocap's fine and everything like that. It's just the way that it's animated is super uncanny valley for me. And right. I'd love for it to be made probably. Have you seen Tintin?
I have seen Tintin.
Tintin's great.
Tintin is wonderful.
I would love
and 7 to see, years newer, I think.
Yeah, like 2011? I know. Yeah, I would have loved to see like it being made around that time with that same technology.
Right.
Because then it would look a ton better and then I would like enjoy it a lot more and be less of had the uncanny valley, cuz people just look weird and I think the technology just doesn't. It was way too ambitious for that time for what they were trying to do with it. But it still looks fine, you know? Well, it's just a little weird for me, at least.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It was made by Robert Zemeckis, right?
Yeah.
And I like the whole theme behind it. Because other me too. Don't be a jerk. Like, a lot of Christmas movies are like, don't be a jerk. Your family's crazy. And stuff like
that. The family's crazy.
But I don't know. Just, like, the whole, like, thought about, like, belief and stuff. Like, just, like. Kind of just, I don't know, like the whole, like, I'm not really a religious person, but just having like belief in something or just like that childlike amazement where you'll believe and stuff. And it just, I don't know, it always, it struck me as a kid and it still strikes me today.
Do you know what's really terrible? And what? It proves to be how awful of a human being I am. Okay. You know, in Hook, when they're like, every time you say you don't believe in fairies, a fairy dies and right. things like that. And they're like, I believe in fairies. I do. I do believe in fairies. I do. The funny thing is, the more recognizable term around me was me literally being, I don't believe in fairies. I don't believe in fairies because it's one of those things where I was a kid. And I was like, haha, I'm killing one of those every single time I say that.
Edgy.
Like, I am a murderer. So that gives you a little peek into how awful of a person I am. So, you know, that's fun.
So I think the more, okay, so I'm just going to go on a limb with the Polar Express and say the most uncanny valley thing are the elves, the way the elves look.
Yeah.
Like the mocap on Tom Hanks looks good, but the mocap, because do you remember how there's like a Steven Tyler bit in that movie at the end where like Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is an elf singing? Like,
yeah, I'm yes.
All around the world. I'm just like,
I remember.
What is happening?
Hot chocolate. That's what happened.
I love that song. It's like
hot chocolate.
I think it's just like
the, here we only got one rule. Here we only got one rule. Never ever let it cool. I love that. No, it is great. Hot chocolate.
Like hot chocolate. Like,
nah,
Tom Hanks also plays like a lot of characters in that movie.
No, it's a very entertaining. It's a very entertaining film.
Like, it's not like a kids movie for kids movie's sake. Like,
no, for sure.
Like, I agree. This is like a kind of a precursor to Tintin and what Spielberg did with Tintin, because like
I need to watch Tintin again. It's so good.
I like it when directors try really hard on like an animated kids movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't see it that often, because like didn't Scorsese make Hugo, like a movie called like Hugo or something?
Yeah, he did.
Like, I like it when like animation isn't just like written off by like really good directors, and like you see people like Lord Miller now just with like, I like that it's a medium that like people outside of the world of Pixar are kind of like, Pixar and DreamWorks are like,
no, for sure.
Yeah, this is good. So yeah, like I really love Polar Express. Other movies, like, I'm not super hot on Home Alone, like you are, like same as you, Corey. I'm just like, okay.
Like, it's definitely a movie that I can agree is
cute.
Like,
it's a nostalgia. It's cute.
And it made a lot of money. But if you think about it, it's just not all that great of a movie.
Like,
what is even the lesson of that movie if you really think about it? It's like, yes, love your family, but they're still jerks. And
I know,
like, their family is still jerks, and they become comically nice after he comes in, which is
they
just
do it twice, because also the second Home Alone, they have the same exact lesson. Everyone's mean to Kevin. Kevin gets lost in New York. Then Kevin has to learn the same lessons about not judging people by their cover, like with like the old man from his neighborhood or the pigeon lady in Central Park. Like, come on, Kevin, be a man. Like, I don't understand. Like, and also, why are Harry and Marv following this kid around? Like
honestly, I think
you
we should
just
be
ditch him.
We should be arresting Harry and Marv for something more than robbing, like, at this point. Gosh,
Harry and Marv are borderline. Like, they should probably be in a mental institution.
They really should.
They told
be.
Their evil plan to the one kid who could tell the police what they were doing. Why would you do that? Like. This guy needs to go to like being a criminal 101 on, hey, don't admit everything you're doing to someone who's right there.
No, you're right. And it's just
you don't
crazy.
Need to get vengeance on the 11-year-old Joe Pesci, okay?
Exactly.
You just don't. All right.
It's like Joe needs to chill. Joe needs to Joe chill, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. My goodness. Kill Bruce Wayne's parents. God.
But yeah, but
you know what, another Christmas movie I really don't like, and I know someone I know really likes, Jingle All the Way.
Oh, Jingle All the Way is so funny.
It's
so bad.
It's comically
we
bad.
We got to go, Double Man.
Like,
Double Man, we got to go.
Like,
oh, it's Double Man. We got to go to the mall. It's Double Man.
Like, it's the same kind of ironically enjoyable that the prequels are. It is so dumb.
Oh, for sure. It's such a dumb movie. Like, Jake Lloyd's in it, too.
I know. Like, that's part of the reason why it's like, Jake Lloyd. Because you get the memes, like the Turbo Man, and then the one where, like, that guy who's, like, totally schmoozing on his wife is like, put that cookie down.
Put that cookie down. Goodness, it's Turbo Man.
Like, and the parade stuff, and I'm just like, okay, wait, what? These men are committing like serious felonies for a Turbo Man doll. What is happening?
Also, okay, another hot take. This everybody's just gonna like take this as us hating Christmas, but it's just that these movies aren't as good as you think they are. Nope. Santa Claus.
Oh,
they're God. All bad. They're, each and every one of them. And they get worse good. Per movie. First of all, how you become Santa Claus because you mistakenly kill the last Santa Claus.
You murdered Santa.
You murdered Santa Claus, and so you become Santa Claus.
What happened to the other Mrs. Claus?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, okay, so there's a Mrs. Claus in the
Does she just
one.
Instantly die?
Like, does she, like, just get Thanos'd when her husband gets Thanos'd?
She's just like,
Tim
oh,
Allen?
No. She's just like, oh, no.
It's just like, she's like, goes to, like, one of the elves, just like, I don't want to go. Like, I'm just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Why?
And now I just, like, every time I see Tim Allen in a movie, I just hear him talking about Donald Trump, and I just don't like it.
You know what? Every time I picture Tim Allen, I just, like, remember the from from Home Improvement.
Home Improvement. Tool time.
But, so, are you familiar with the movie, oh, what was it? It's got Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito. Oh, Deck the Halls. Have you seen that? The one where, like, they're, like, battling for, like, like with Christmas lights and stuff like that.
I never really watched it, but I always watched like bits and pieces of it that would pop up.
I don't enjoy it either. Like Christmas movies aren't great in general. Hallmark knows they're not good. Why do you think they make so many? Why do you think they make that many? Like,
because you can get money off of nostalgia and get money off of the holidays, you know? Because it's like the only kind of holiday that you can make money movie wise. Who's going to make money off of a Thanksgiving movie or an Easter movie, you know?
Well, they tried that with Hop, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That? Yes. Gosh, that is awful.
I am the Easter Bunny. Oh, remember that Guardians movie? Like that, like where like they're like not like Guardians of the Galaxy, but like was that a Zack Snyder movie? Like
oh yeah, Guardians of Cool.
Yeah, Guardian like no.
Or no, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, like
though.
It's like a maybe that's the same book. I guess cuz there's the owl movie, but it's like there's Santa Claus, there's the Easter Bunny, there's the Tooth Fairy, and they fight like
oh yes, Christmas yes.
Satan. They fight Christmas Satan, and I'm just like, what is this? I am so confused.
I'm looking this up.
Like it's also like another. It's kind of like that same elf plot point.
Rise of
like,
the Guardians.
Rise of the Guardians. I'm just like
yeah, and then
oh,
there's
yeah,
the bunny.
Jack Frost versus
there's an
North.
Satan. There's Tooth, Jack Frost. Oh my gosh, what a silly movie. Look at how jacked this rabbit looks.
Oh yeah, like that rabbit was swollen. It was uncomfortable.
I know, and the animation just does not look great.
Like,
oh gosh.
Like Jack Frost has to fight Satan or some dark, or Malekith the Dark Elf. I don't know what's happening in that movie. I'm just like, what?
It's just so weird, and there's like a tooth fairy, and oh gosh, this literally like, I just don't.
Mm-mm. Like Santa's like got like
Santa's pretty swole too.
Yeah, Santa's swole too. Like those must have been whey cookies he was eating because he is jacked.
Pretty sure he's played by Alec Baldwin as well, which is funny. And the bunny is played by Hugh Jackman.
Oh no!
Chris Pine is Jack Frost. It's a pretty good casting actually.
They had like a lot of stars in this movie.
Yeah, no, for sure. They definitely tried to capitalize on that. But yeah, you know, you wanna like let's you know end this Christmas talk on a more positive note.
Oh,
I really love Elf. Like Elf is a sweet movie. It's a fun movie.
John Favreau
is definitely exactly very stupid movie, but it's kind of supposed to be.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things where that is definitely one of the better Christmas movies that you know I like to watch every year and everything like that. And It's a Wonderful Life is also probably the best Christmas movie in my opinion. Because it's just consistently good. It teaches good lessons that actually stay true. And it's in my opinion, it's like the original Christmas movie that they kind of spun off and kind of tried to do the same thing with over and over again, which has made other Christmas movies pretty bad. But this is the one that actually does it effectively and good. So, you know, I can appreciate those movies and be positive. So what are some Christmas movies that you're positive on besides?
I have
a lot
of negative ones left, but I will go with a positive one. So this is kind of like a nostalgia thing for me, is the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Chevy Chase and Randy Quaid. Like, just how irreverent, like, it's so, like, Like, you always forget about it long enough to forget there's, like, some really racy scenes. Like, if you're watching it with your parents.
So oh, no, for awkward. Sure.
Like, there's just something about, like, when Chevy Chase was in his prime. Like, I know that dude is, like, a humongous jerk in real life.
Oh, no, for sure.
But, like, there's something about his just, like, snideness. And, like, I would always, like, I would watch this with, like, my dad, like, during Christmas time, like, all the time. Like, I don't know. Like, they're just some, like, Christmas movies are rarely, like, genuinely funny to me. Mm-hmm. Like, and this one is, like, in, like, a way that, like, it's kind of exaggerates the, like, annoying family trope to, like, overdrive. And, like, you can just kind of feel the anxiety in the characters in your own way, mm-hmm. like, in a good way. Like, just because, like, there's, like, there's an amazing rant in the movie, as you're aware, that they don't mm-hmm. play on the TV version. You know what? Funny story time, Corey.
Yeah, what's up?
So you know how, like, at the end of the semester, like, before Christmas break, like, in mm-hmm. Grade school?
Yeah.
Like, they'll just kind of, like, all your tests are done, and you're pretty lax, and you can, like, watch a movie in class.
Mm-hmm.
So the choir teacher, like, the choir room's, like, the biggest room in the school.
Yeah.
So basically, they put on Christmas Vacation.
Wow.
And she had only seen the TV version. So when the rant Clark makes after he doesn't get his Christmas bonus. And
that's
like,
so funny.
After it happened, she turned it off. And she just like, okay, I didn't know that was that different from the TV version. And then they just put on Elf to finish the day of the class. And I was just like, and I knew it was coming too. I'm just like, they know what's happening, right? Then they know what's gonna happen, right? And I was like, no one knows what's coming. This is amazing.
That's
this
wonderful.
This is the greatest day of my.
You said that was in elementary school?
No, it was in. It was like late junior high.
Late junior
early high.
High
school.
Oh, that's funny.
Like it might have been like eighth grade.
That's wonderful.
It's like, oh, you and none of you have any clue.
I dig that.
I was just like. Like, I was just, like, looking at the clock to make sure we had enough, because it's towards the end of the movie, so, like, making sure we had enough time in class left. I'm like, here it comes.
Mm-hmm,
and then,
for sure.
Like, scene happens, teacher racing over, switches out the movie. I'm like, yeah, today was a good day.
No, for sure.
But do you have any more positive vibes on Christmas movies?
Not quite, because I don't love Christmas movies all that much, but
most of the holiday specials suck.
Most of them do suck, but I really like the Fairly Odd Parents one just because of one part. The like, I love you, Timmy. I mean, or I love you, Noggy. I mean, Timmy.
Oh, like when Tim's dad becomes Nog Man.
Yes.
He's like, sit, Nog Dog.
It is just, it's just a really funny recurring
like
joke.
When Timmy's mom was like up to her, his dad, he was like, you remind me of my husband. And then, like, he sprays her in the face with, like, Nog. He's like, she must never know.
it's just hysterical. Well, some of these Christmas specials, as bad as they are, they're very cheesy, but they're very good in the way that, you know, they're nostalgic, I guess, you know? And so, like, it's not that we hate Christmas. It's just that some of them are just
some
not
of
as
them don't good. Have a good
they're just not,
either.
Yeah, you know, not so much.
Hey,
but
Rudolph, we're going to bully you until your mutation becomes useful. Also, Donner is a bad dad. Like, yeah. Donner, like, it's Donner who's Rudolph's dad, right?
No, yeah.
Like, Donner, you need to be supportive of your son and tell Santa to go blow it out his big red clad behind, because he was torching your kid and torching you, and you didn't stand up for your wife
exactly.
and your kid, Donner.
You didn't.
What kind of reindeer are you?
I don't understand.
What kind of talking
I
reindeer?
I do not understand. It's awful.
Like,
but
you should have gotten the Yeti and just torched the North Pole village.
I know, like, for sure. And with that, we're going to transition real quick into chatting about, you know, some of our expectations. And this is our closing thoughts on the expectations of Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker. Are you going to, or do you want to take a break, or do you just want to just go through it?
Let's do it.
Let's just go through
let's
it.
Let's go through it.
No, let's go through it. Okay. But it's one of those deals where, dang. Okay, so are you okay if I read some reactions?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to... Because the thing is The Rise of Skywalker is much like... Due to how controversial Star Wars has been the past few years...
What do you mean?
What do you mean? And everything like that. Okay, I'm going to try to navigate this online without getting any spoilers up, because I do not want any spoilers. Rise of Skywalker.
Like, great podcast content if you got spoiled on it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, I'll knock on wood. Now we're safe.
Okay, here's some spoiler-free reactions. And it says, the Germaine Lucier says, Star Wars Rise of Skywalker is everything you want and more, which I don't necessarily think is a good thing. I love parts. I didn't love parts. Leaving the theater in a very conflicted way. And then the Brandalorian, Brandon Davis, says, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker is good. It's full of surprises. And in the words of Luke Skywalker, this is not going the way you think, which makes me a little positive on it because even if the film is okay, I still want things that I'm unexpected to pop up. And, you know, right. I still want cool stuff to happen. And Anthony Bresnikan say, when people talk about Star Wars, they talk about their childhoods, their best memories, the people they love shared it with. The Rise of Skywalker brings back all those feelings and then some. I loved it. And now I feel, and then there's a gif of R2 falling down in the Tatooine desert. And then there is, just got done watching Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, and all I can say is wow and wow and wow. It pays homage to all films and does a great job wrapping up the epic story. Phenomenal in every way. And that's Zila Valentine says that. And then Eric David says, epic, all of it. Rise of Skywalker is a terrific finale that is just stuffed with so much everything. Action, adventure, answers. I'm afraid for the answers anyways. Humor, heart, love, and grit. I spent the entire second half with tears in my eyes. A wonderful way to end the Skywalker saga. And then just stopped out of Rob Key says, just stepped out of Rise of Skywalker. It's immensely satisfying and a massive end to the saga. Somehow addresses issues, problematic characters, and unanswered questions from The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi too. Still very worried about that. sorry, that's probably just my opinion going through there. And this is probably, I'm going to try to not end on a negative one, but because I've been reading off too many reactions, but this is the last one I'm probably going to read. So Star Wars Rise of Skywalker is certainly the most convoluted Star Wars. There is a lot that I like. The first half gets so bogged down with exposition and a new plot, doodads, beacons, and transmitters. It feels like it should have been three movies on its own. That's not really that great. But anyways, Star Wars. Oh my God, I'm absolutely blown away. This is what Jenny Bush de Noel said. This is the end of the era of the franchise and definitely defined my life. And this did it justice in a way that I didn't imagine it could. You will cry. And so I'm getting a lot of mixed reactions. Right now it's sitting at around a 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. We could probably go a little bit later. Nobody's really. Nobody's in the studio. Nobody's in the studio right now. But it's one of those deals where I'm kind of just like,
oh, boy.
Yeah, it's just a whole hodgepodge of mixed. And so it's not mixed in the same way as The Last Jedi, because the mixedness with The Last Jedi was kind of critics and people.
Critics really liked it.
Really loved it.
Audiences were like,
no. Mm-hmm. They're like, heck no. Heck to the nah. This is going to be.
Heck no, I won't go.
It's one of those things where I have a feeling that this is going to be a movie that's going to be very conflicting for certain people, because some people who the movie lover inside of them and the lover of film inside of them, for certain people, at least for people kind of like us probably, right, will be like, wow, this movie's a mess. But then in turn be like, wow, but so many cool and satisfying things from a Star Wars perspective happened in this movie. So you never know what's really going to happen or how, like, I could be next week cheering the praise of this movie and talking about how much I love it and how all these people are wrong about saying it's convoluted. I can think it's the cleanest and best movie on the planet because I don't want these reactions to dictate the way I feel about this movie before I've even seen it. I just think that it's very curious that people are throwing out words like convoluted, bogged down, and in the midst of that super satisfying, because mm-hmm. usually things that are convoluted and bogged down aren't necessarily fascinating. So it's one of those things where I think that there's a fuller picture of this, and the only way that I can get the fuller picture of this is by watching the film. What do you think, Chance?
So for me, it seems like the reactions are like cold to lukewarm to really good.
Yeah, for
sure. So like there's no like bottom of the barrel from the critics that I've noticed. I don't know if Armand White has put his review up.
Armand White, the thing is, all you know is if Armand White says it's good, that means it's awful.
It's probably bad. But so those are some like some maybe a little worrying things, but I'm just going to put all that out of my mind before I go see it. I guess because, you know, honestly, a lot of people are just thinking what they want with this movie, but I genuinely don't know what I want. Like, I don't know where this is going. And sorry about that. My throat's getting a little scratchy.
No, I feel you.
Because they talk about it's convoluted, how like the first half is plot heavy, and maybe that's just kind of, that's one of my critiques of The Last Jedi, was that like everyone, like the whole thing is just kind of reset, you know, like with how many of the resistance perishes.
No, for
in
sure.
The movie, so like, and like they can all fit on the Millennium Falcon, so it's pretty much like back to square one.
No, for
as
sure.
As far as the resistance goes, so you kind of have to have a lot of exposition in that, and I hope they do it well. Because it kind of sounds like they're going to do something in a very similar fashion. Like when people say like there's a lot of like what you said with like a lot of like maybe not necessarily movie moments, but with Star Wars moments, it makes me think of Endgame, mm-hmm. where there are a lot of great moments like Tony with his dad, Captain America and the hammer, Thor and his mom, and Steve with Peggy, like all mm-hmm. these like very payoff moments that maybe not necessarily could have gotten there as naturally as they could have.
No, which is why I think there might be some people who aren't necessarily huge Star Wars fans who don't like the movie because they don't get that payoff through that.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So because the thing is, you really got to separate yourself with movies like this.
Right.
And it is hard because as a huge Last Jedi defender and as somebody who thinks that The Last Jedi is one of the most brilliant films of genre in a while, and understanding how like there, but even understanding that the fact that that movie swings the fences and misses sometimes as well.
Yeah.
I also think it's not a really good fitting middle trilogy because right. a middle part of a trilogy because they really have a lot to build through, and a lot of the exposition can be like, I'm not saying that it's JJ's fault. It's Rian Johnson's fault that there is going to be exposition in this movie. But a part of the thing is there is exposition that needed to be cycled through because of JJ as well. Because right. JJ was like, ooh, mystery box.
Like, ooh, this is a full three decades later. This is a full, you know, Empire, Rebellion, forget about it. It's we like, got the Resistance in the First Order. And I don't know why JJ's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. And this is one thing that I just get like frustrated with this whole entire trilogy. And it's a part of the reason why I'm glad that we're moving on from Skywalker. It's because like it's one of those deals where it's like I lament the fact that they destroyed the New Republic in this trilogy, and that's something that JJ did, and I'm not like trying to do this JJ hate. It's just one of those things where people forget certain things that happened in The Force Awakens for some odd reason, and they still blame it on Rian Johnson or they still blame it on Disney Holy when it is Lawrence Kasdan and it's J.J. Abrams and what they set up and what, and it's kind of, it's more or less their fault because, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael Arndt had a script. Michael Arndt wrote a script with George Lucas in mind and everything like that.
I think you did. I think that's true.
No, he did. And it involved the children. It was kind of more...
Oh, Luke and his kids?
Yeah, it involved them. Finn was still a character, which is interesting.
Oh, okay.
Finn was still a character in that kind of script. It doesn't like look like Finn or anything like that, but it was a defective stormtrooper was kind of the Han Solo-ish kind of character.
Okay.
And there's seeds from that script that still made it into this new trilogy, but I believe in that script also, nobody sees the script, by the way. There's only like rumors of what's in it.
Right.
Apparently the New Republic is a thing and they don't break down the New Republic and they don't destroy it, but evil just arises out of it and everything like that. And, in the midst of that. And I thought that that makes credence for a way more interesting story. And dang it, I know this would upset a lot of people, and I know a lot of people don't want this, but Ryan Johnson, I think that this trilogy would be so much more interesting if Rey took Kylo's hand in The Last Jedi.
That would have been wild. There's the subversion expectation. My expectations would have been subverted if she took his hand.
Exactly. And that's the kind of, like, if I was a director, because the thing is,
Last Jedi had the balls to do everything except that.
Exactly. And it's one of the things where, like, I really love the cojones that's on that movie. And I really appreciate that movie a lot. But I think that that's definitely one of the things that really, truly should have occurred in that movie. And the thing is Rey doesn't need to be bad forever. And I think that Rey can be a very complex bad guy too. I think that Rey
could, or even they're just like not bad guys at all. They're just kind of like trying to figure the thing out and maybe stop the violence.
Exactly. And the thing is like maybe that would, and I think that would cause a lot of conflict between say Finn and Poe. And they're like, what's going on here? You're supposed to be this and all this kind of stuff. Maybe Finn picks up a lightsaber, or Poe picks up a lightsaber, and you know people are big mad.
Or like they take their takes his hand, and then like they just like, okay, I'm in charge of the First Order now. You seem like you got a pretty good thing going in the First Order. Let's see, we can just end this nonsense once and for all from our sides, because like
from our respective sides,
and it'd be kind of like maybe just a cool dichotomy with like Leia and Poe and everyone else in the resistance, where it's like, why are you being so like cavalier with all this all of a sudden?
No, for sure,
no reason.
No, and it's just like one of those deals where I think that it's very important and very just like I think that would have made more thematically cool,
right?
Because like the thing is, I want movies like The Last Jedi to happen after this, and I think after the Skywalker saga ends, I think more movies like The Last Jedi will be more welcomed because because movies that just swing for the fences and do new things in Star Wars, I think that will be really cool because we won't have the baggage of that. And like, dang it, here's the thing. I understand that Rey needs to be a good influence for girls around and everything like that, but redemption is still something that girls should be able to relate with. It doesn't have to just be an exclusively male thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't like a woman can fall to the dark side as well, or falter as well, and all those kind of things. So I understand why people are like, oh no, not our golden girl. But people really need to understand. And I thought that that would be a very like wild and kind of cool thing. And the thing is I knew that they wouldn't have Rey turn to the dark side in either of these movies because they tease it every single movie. And it's like one of those things where it's just one of the things where like Star Wars, Disney Star Wars, and Star Wars in general, honestly, like even if it was still at Fox, they wouldn't have the cojones to do it. They
just didn't have the balls to do it in Return of the Jedi because... remember that, like,
they're supposed
like where like Luke was gonna put the helmet on and say, "I am Vader now."
Exactly.
Destroy the fleet.
No, exactly.
Like it, like don't pretend that like anyone's like done this before.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like my problem has never really been with Rian Johnson. It's just like the general direction that Disney decided to take the franchise after they bought it. Like you said, I would have preferred maybe they just thought because of how people despised the prequels at the time. Or just like
they just over course like correct.
If they heard the word Republic, they would have thrown a hissy fit or something like that.
No, for sure.
Or because,
and that's just like the attitude that they even had with this film, with the films, was because it's like now, and it's like it's annoying and it's reactionary because the Force Awakens trash talk the prequels, with Rise of Skywalker trash talk the Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically one of the things where it's just like, trash what's gone before.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad. Let's fashion things in a way where I think the gig's right. It's like the whole attitude of the beginning of The Force Awakens,
stick
where it's
to
like,
your plan.
Let's begin to make this right. No, let's not begin to make this right. Let's make a story of our own. And it's one of those things where it's like, and this is coming from somebody who likes the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Like, I like it. Like, I genuinely think it's good. And it's like, I think it's better than the prequel trilogy. I know that's a controversial issue now, but
it really shouldn't be.
The prequels are bad movies. I like them ironically, and the thing is, there's things in those movies that I like. And if the Clone Wars TV show is part of the prequel trilogy, that's my prequel trilogy that I like. It's kind of what supplanted it in my mind.
The Clone Wars is on like elevated all the garbage around it.
Exactly. And so it's like one of those things where it's just like, but regardless, getting off of that, Rise of Skywalker, still excited for it despite mixed reactions. And if you want to get our thoughts on it, we're going to be talking about it pretty much as soon as possible, as soon as we can try to, you know?
Like, I guess my only other question would be, like, what's the deal with, like, Ghostly Luke? What's going to be that dealio?
I don't know.
Because you've heard his voices in the trailer, and he is in, like, the IMAX poster.
He is.
So, like I'm good with, like, you know, because that's always something I wanted, too. Like, the expansion of Force Ghosts. What's the deal
with Force Ghosts?
Like, if Yoda can, like, come back, why can't Obi-Wan? Like, are we going to see, like, a ghostly Ewan McGregor since, you know, Alec Guinness hasn't been with us for decades at this point? You know, this is kind of off topic, but, like, you know, I want to see what, like, Luke definitely had the vibe of, oh, yeah, you're going to see me again at the end of The Last Jedi.
No, for sure.
He's like, I will not be the last Jedi. Peace! And then disappeared. But it's just kind of like, I get it. It didn't go the way I thought either. Or necessarily wanted, but it happened, and let's just move on with our lives, because there's probably more important things to be worried about. But I can't wait for, I'm pumped to see it, I'm pumped to see all the Star Wars, like, I'm pumped to see episode 8 of Mandalorian, I'm pumped to see episode 9, I'm pumped to see where they go next. Like, I'm genuinely want to know what they're, like, what's their plan, like.
Excited for that new pitch from Kevin Feige, I'm excited for whatever they're doing. The more I think about it, the more I don't know if they're going to be doing this Rian Johnson trilogy. And like,
well,
I have no idea what's happening. And a part of the reason why is because it's like, I don't see Rian Johnson anywhere near the premiere, near anything like that. So it's like, it's worrisome, because I think that it would be a huge disservice to the Star Wars franchise if a half of the fan base being very vitriolic, because there are people who don't like The Last Jedi and who are really chill about it. Yeah. But there are also people who, and like, honestly, the majority, like a lot of people really like the movie and different things like that. But I think that being reactionary and not like kind of giving in to fans is not the right thing, because that's not how you create good new content. Right. I don't care if you have Rian Johnson doing or not doing it, but I'm just saying that people aren't going to want to take risks in Star Wars if they think that Disney's only going to let them make just random stories like that.
We don't know what we want. Let's be real.
Exactly.
We don't know what we want. I didn't know that I wanted Sheriff Hopper with a Russian accent and a tight red uniform.
That's funny.
I want it now. I didn't know I wanted it a couple of weeks ago, but I want it now. Like I didn't know I wanted a Kiwi-sounding murder robot, but here we are.
Of course.
Be open to new ideas, people. Mm-hmm. And granted, new ideas and established characters don't always work for some people. It's just the way it is.
Da-na-na, na-na-na. And with that, we are going to be ending this long episode of the Box Office. This long episode of the Box Office Bros. But thank you all for listening. Check us out on Instagram. We post funny memes at Box Office Bros Pod. And thank you all for listening. And Box Office Bros out.
Thank you for listening to Box Office Bros.
Oh, gee, thanks, Dad.
You can catch the show live on Wednesdays, 12 noon to 2 o'clock, on MAV Radio, KVNO, HD2.
What about radio communication?
Start with radio.
This is Earth Radio.
What's radio again?
You can listen to the podcast version on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Podcasts are great. Radio's boring.
Have a great day.
And see you next time.
If I'm not back in 5 minutes, just wait longer.
And now for my next impression... Jesse Owens.
Peace out.
Later, Tater.
End of story. Bye-bye.
See you later.